side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. What an incredible opportunity we have today to gather together in this Souls Harbor worship service to give God glory, honor, and praise. He's worthy of it today, for surely God has been good to us, despite all the things that may be happening around us. His grace, His mercy, and oh, His love has been extended towards us and has helped us, strengthened us, comforted us when we needed it, gave us that peace of mind that passeth all understanding. Oh, I love Him today, and I hope that you'll join us in the singing of the songs and in the sharing of God's Word to lift Him up and give Him praise for the good things He's done for you and for me. As we get started today, Wanda St. Peter is coming to sing a song that I believe has a great message to it. It's a message I think many people need to hear today, to be reminded that not only did Jesus go to Calvary for our sins, but He also went that every need of our life could be met. She's coming to sing, "Calvary Covers It All."
Far dearer than all that this world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that He bore and the thorns that He wore told His mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I call on His name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, all my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace when I look on the face of this Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete I then found at His feet, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by Him bought shall be His in the glory on high. I'll be one of the throng and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain. Took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. All my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Thank God for a place called Calvary. Thank God for an old rugged cross. Thank God for a man called Jesus who was willing to go and pay the price for you and I. I am afraid that in all of our modern day thinking, in some of the teachings and philosophies of mankind today, the message of the cross is being tucked away. It's being forgotten. I think we need to bring it back and let it be at the forefront, because I don't think a man can go wrong when he lets the cross be a part of his life. I know it represents a horrible moment in man's history, but at the same time, it also represents a great moment of deliverance for mankind. Today there's a song that Sue Ellen Deer and Nyla Carmichael are coming to sing that I think tells the story. They're coming to sing a song that's entitled, "It's About the Cross."
Just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. Trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the soul that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. So that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
I can't think of one moment in our lives where we can do without the presence of the cross. I know that bothers people to hear me say that. We'd like to think that we can make a quick stop, a quick visit to the cross, and then move beyond it and let it be in our distant past. We don't want it there in front of us every day to remind us that Jesus had to go to a place called Calvary to die for our sins. I want to remind you today, he didn't go to Calvary just to purchase our sins so that we could be redeemed. Every process of Calvary was important to your life and my life. I've had people ask me, if they wanted to just kill him, why didn't they just take him out and kill him? But you see, through every step, every stage of that journey, from Pilate's judgment hall to the top of Golgotha's hill, was important because through it, he was accomplishing things so that you and I, in this day that we're living in, could receive the kind of help that we have need of. Oh, that empty tomb reminds us that when he came out of it, he also brought us life. It was true what Jesus said, in that he had come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. He came so that our joy could be full and complete. But before that can happen, we first have to stop at that old rugged cross. Today, as I carry you before the throne of God in prayer, I'm asking God for salvation for some. For that's the first step of your journey today. You need your sins to be washed away, for God to cleanse you in the shedding of the blood of Christ so that you can be free from that burden. I'm praying that God will heal some that are afflicted. The disease of your body will take your life if there's no remedy and there's no cure. But Jesus is the cure for all of our diseases. For some, I'm praying for you for the emotional battles that you're going through. These last few days and weeks and months have been rough, and you don't know how much longer you can bear up underneath the tremendous load that you're trying to carry. Well, remember this today. Jesus is our great ox. He is our burden bearer. So whatever your burden may be today, give it to him. Let him pick it up and carry it for you. For God knows just what to do to help you. Well, I could go on and on with the list of things that people might have need of in their lives today. But since Jesus knows us, and since he knows all about us, I think we can comfortably go to him to ask him to help us with all of these things that we are carrying before him in prayer today. Would you pray along with me? Precious Jesus, we thank you that you are willing to give your life as a sacrifice for each one of us today. There's not a person under the sound of my voice that you didn't go to Calvary for, and there is not one that you would reject as being unworthy to receive your forgiveness, your help, the supply of our needs. So, Lord, I give each member of this audience to you today. I ask you to hear the cry of their heart. And somehow, we may not know how, but you certainly know how to do it today. Somehow, meet each and every need. Do it in such a way that there will be no question that it is you that we have to thank for the meeting of our needs. For we took the moment to pray, and because we prayed and exercised our faith, you heard our cry and you responded with the very help that we have needed. We thank you for all of these things that you are doing on each and everyone's behalf. For we've asked you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Salvation in a far distant land. Two rusty nails pierced two precious hands. There a man named Jesus for silver was sold on an old rugged cross. Love's story was told. Written in blood. Rivers of mercy were flowing. Between two thieves was the sun. The ransom was paid for every man's soul on an story was told. He cried, "It is finished," and the world heard the sound, marking the beginning as his blood touched the ground. A master plan for living on Mount Calvary. Such expression of love is salvation today. Oh, oh, what a story. I love you was written in blood. Rivers of mercy were flowing.
Without a doubt, Calvary is the greatest love story ever told. For when you think about the reasons why Jesus would be willing to subject himself to the pain and suffering of dying on that old rugged cross, you'll always come back to this one truth. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. We don't need to consider whether we're worthy or not, because whether we're worthy or not, He loves us. And for that reason, He went to Calvary. When Calvary becomes part of our story is changed. We're not what we used to be. We don't do the things we used to do. We don't even go to the places we used to go. Well, if I'm not careful, I'll get to preaching right here. And I think this is one of those moments when evangelist Jonathan Garlock can come and sing a song that will tell the story that I'd like for you to hear. He's coming to sing a song that's entitled, Thanks to Calvary.
Today I went back to the places that I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I used to know. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Then I went back to the places that I used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. I said, come out, son, because you've got a brand new daddy. And thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the daddy I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell him, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Everything's changed now, and thanks to Calvary, I don't go here anymore.
While Jonathan was singing that song, I thought of something that Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let me read it for you today. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, I like that. That describes my experience in Jesus. When I came to Him and gave Him my load of sin, old things passed away. Everything became new. I received a new heart, a new life, a new outlook, a new testimony to share. Well, here's another one of those moments when maybe I just better let the next song be sung, because it too is trying to say what I'm trying to say. Joni Tilton's coming to sing a song that should be our testimony today. She's coming to sing, "The Chains Fell Away."
Well, I was living my life like there was no tomorrow. I had no direction, doing my own thing. Satan had me bound with a heavy chain. Every day he'd add just another link. But my chains fell away when I gave my heart to Jesus. My chains fell away when I put them under the blood. My chains fell away, no longer do they bind me. Broken in pieces by the power of his blood. I had a big old chain and it was wrapped around my heart. Nothing could get out, nothing could get in. Satan locked me up, threw away the key, and he tried to keep me shackled to my sin. But the chains fell away when I gave my heart to Jesus. The chains fell away when I put them under the blood. My chains fell away, no longer do they bind me. Broken in pieces by the power of his blood. My chains fell away when I gave my heart to Jesus. My chains fell away when I put them under the blood. My chains fell away, no longer do they bind me. Broken in pieces by the power of his blood. My chains fell away, no longer do they bind me. Broken in pieces by the power of his blood. Broken in pieces by the power of his blood.
I need to stop here for just a moment to say something that I feel like really needs to be plainly said. Just in case you haven't caught it in the songs that have been sung or the introduction of those songs, I need to say to somebody that every relationship with God begins at a place called Calvary. It's not until you bow at the foot of that old rugged cross and accept what Jesus did for you in the giving of his life so that you could be forgiven of your sins. It's not until that moment that Christ comes in and begins to change everything. The world is wide open to possibilities today once God is a part of your living. Because when you begin to walk with him, talk with him, serve him the remaining days of your life, God does wondrous works within us. And today, the reason we've got a testimony to tell, a story that we love for people to hear, is because of the good things that God has done. So if you haven't yet done it, do it today. Bow at the foot of that old rugged cross so that God can begin to work miracles within your life as he has done in the lives of so many others. I need to take just a moment to remind you that we stand in need of your help once again this week. I know we say it in just about every weekly morning worship service, but this service today is brought to you through the free will offerings of you, the viewer. Now, without your help, this isn't possible. It's far too expensive to be on one person's shoulders, or even a handful of people's shoulders. We need everybody to do a little bit of something in order to help us, so that everybody doing a little something will get the job done and we can return for another week's service. So today, help secure the future of the Souls Harbor Ministry by considering to give a financial contribution in order to help us with the cost of our weekly worship services. We need your help. We ask you for your help, and we will thank you for your help when we have received it. I want to give you our contact information. Then in the next few days, when you've had a moment or two to pray about it, you want to give, then this is how you can get in touch with us. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. To make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. You can also, in the U.S., make a contribution by visiting our website. That address is www.soulsharbor.tv, just as it's written there on your screen. If you look down in the left-hand corner, you'll see a little button that says Donate. Just click on that, and you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. For our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office, Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. In Canada, to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. Thank you so much for everything that you do as a show of support for the Souls Harbor Ministry. Whether you are praying for us, if you're giving a financial gift, whatever it may be, we sincerely appreciate every effort that's made to help us to be here to do what we're doing today, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your help. We pray God will richly bless you for whatever you're doing to help us. As we return to the order of our worship service, I want to go over and sing a song that's a favorite of so many people. It's my story, so I like to sing it, and I like to sing it often. You'll do what this song is telling us. If you'll let Him touch you, then friend, today you'll have a story that you'll enjoy telling as well. Listen to the message of this song as we share with you today, He Touched Me.
I was shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole. I will never cease to praise Him. Oh, I will shout it while eternity rolls. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
That very much is my testimony today. I also believe it was your testimony. Where were we when Jesus found us? We were shackled by a heavy burden. Because of it, we were beneath a load of guilt and shame. But oh, when the hand of Jesus touched us, thank God for that touch. For with that touch, everything was changed. Because of God's presence in our life today, things are much different than they were. That doesn't mean that we are walking on easy street. I think if we all could have a moment or two to tell our story, we would all soon discover that we have a story that's filled with hardships, toils, some turmoils of life, some dark moments when it may have looked like all would be lost. But we could also spend some time talking about the changes that have come to our life because of what Jesus has done for us. When I think about that song and the opening lines of that song, the word shackled begins to speak to my life. Because that's where we were. We were in bondage. We were in bonds by the chains of this world that had captured us and imprisoned us. We were shackled. Where the song says, heavy burden, I think that's part of our story today. We were under the burden of realizing that it was because of our choices, the actions, the words, the thoughts of our life, that we were in a place where we were shackled and in bondage. It wasn't because of what somebody else did for us. Oh, I know there's that aspect of people's lives where because of what people did or what people said, it took things from you. And I don't have time to deal with that today. It is a very real thing that happens to people's lives. But I'm talking about the things that we can't blame others for. We put ourselves in the position that we found ourselves in. The guilt and the shame that we feel are because of what we did, what we said, the way we felt, or the thoughts that we thought. You see, God helps us with all of that. That's why it's important to realize we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, because it ought to change the things that we do, the way that we feel, the way that we think, the words that we say. Oh, if we would just let Jesus be Jesus within us, our lives would be enriched and changed even more than what they have already gone through. Well, I don't want to take a long time today, but I need to take a moment or two to talk about this a little bit further. Today I'd like for you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to the book of Genesis. We want to talk for a moment or two about how we got to where we are. How did our world become the world that it has become? Why are these things happening around us that are so devastating, so troublesome? How did we personally find ourselves in the places that we have sometimes found ourselves in? Well, I know as much as people don't want to hear it, you have to go back to something that's going to sound very old-fashioned, and yet it aptly describes the modern-day life of mankind. I don't care how advanced we may become. I don't care how much intellect we may gather. It still boils down to a very basic element: sin. We were lost in our sin. Paul the Apostle said that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. That's very true. It doesn't matter how long time will go on. It doesn't matter how far man may go. It will always boil down to the sinful, Adamic nature of mankind. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, I want to begin reading at verse 9. I certainly don't have time enough to tell all the details of this event that takes place, but I want to hit some of the highlights today to help you to understand this is the way it was. This is what happened, and this is how we arrived at where we are today. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now let me stop right there. There's more that I want to read, but I want to talk about this part before we move into the next part. This part is how we can come to understand how we got here. If the passage of Scripture that we had just read had not have happened, then the story or the things that we would talk about today would be much different. But because this part of man's story is here, because it happened, it leads us further down the road to where we will eventually arrive at the moment in time that we now find ourselves. And when I talk about the moment of time that we now find ourselves, I'm talking about finding ourselves in the midst of all these things that are happening around us. When you look at the condition of our world today, it's a dark picture. There's a lot of good things that are happening. I don't want to dismiss that. Thank God there are some wonderful things that man is experiencing in his life. But every day with the good that is happening, there is evil that is happening. Bad things, painful things, hard things. And those things are with us because of what two people did way back there in the Garden of Eden. When we see what's taking place here, we understand that because Eve found herself in the vicinity of that tree, looking at it, thinking about it, she opens herself up to a visit from the enemy of all mankind. The serpent, being more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made, just whispered a few things into her ear, and then the imagination of Eve took over. We don't find any fault with Eve here because Eve is no different than you and I. Even in our day, when the enemy comes, he whispers into our ear a couple of things that gets us to thinking and imagining and wondering, and it's not long before we talk ourselves into believing a lie that will open a door to some things happening in our lives that we would come to later regret. When the serpent said to Eve, God doesn't want you to eat of the tree because it will make you wise. It will give you the knowledge of good and evil and you become like him. Eve already had a knowledge of good and evil. She had the one thing that God said don't do. That was the evil. She didn't need to know anything beyond that except that there were things that God forbid. And yet, she looked at it as being a divisive thing that would keep her from becoming like God. Oh, she came to know good and evil. There's no question about that. There's no doubt about it. When you follow along the lines of what will happen here in a few moments, she understood what the difference was between good and evil. And she experienced the full impact of what evil could do. Oh, it was an unintended consequence. It wasn't something that she had anticipated. It wasn't something that she had planned for. She knew nothing about it until it was too late to undo what she had done. Well, let me take the time to read, beginning with verse 16. This is what happened as a result of what Eve has done. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, it says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. If Adam and Eve had known of the consequences that were going to come to their life because of their willful disobedience of what God said not to do, I would like to think that they would not have done what they did. That's the problem with sin. Sin doesn't always allow us to see the consequences of our actions. Sin takes place and then we discover. Eve was looking at the fruit. She didn't see anything wrong with the fruit. The fruit probably looked good to her. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think that there was anything wrong with the fruit itself. It wasn't the fruit, it was what God said about the fruit. He said, don't eat of it. That was all she needed to know. And if she had done that, everything would have been fine. But because of that willful disobedience, as she took of the fruit, as Adam took of the fruit, they did what God said not to do, and as a result, now there are unintended consequences. There are things that are happening in the lives of these individuals that would just expand and expand and expand through every generation that has walked the earth until we arrive at this place that we're at today. The unfortunate thing for us today is that because we have come to some intellectual conclusion that there's no such thing as sin, and we have adopted a philosophy, if it feels good, do it. Don't worry about the consequences. Even if something bad happens, it can be fixed. Because we've ruled out sin and the effects of sin, we now find ourselves as a generation that has surpassed even the generation of Noah. And when we look at Noah's story, they had become so wicked that God destroyed them all except for Noah and his family. Might I remind you, that's the same promise he has made to our generation. That when God takes us from this world, he will come to a moment in time when he'll destroy the world, not by flood this time, but by fire, in order to purge the world of its sin. There are unintended consequences to everything that we do. When it's bad, it's a consequence. When it's good, we call it a reward. Well, let's understand today that there are consequences to our lives for not being obedient to the Word of God. I know that's a tall task, and some would say it can't be done, but I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for being willing to pour your grace and your mercy out upon us to redeem us so that the work of your Holy Spirit can begin in our lives and we can avoid the unintended consequences, those things that evil would do within us because of our sinfulness. Help each one of us today to walk after the things of God, to be led by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
I can still remember the wonderful feeling back when I first got to know you. It seemed the world was mine. I had joy, I had springtime, but that's all just a memory anymore. I guess I took my eyes off you, Lord. And I don't want this calloused feeling anymore. Please bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new day. I want to see you. Wasn't long ago when my life was still growing and every new day was a challenge. But indifference turned me cold, made things stale, they seemed old. Now I've lost that happy song I used to sing. It seems I forgot the most important thing. but I don't want this calloused feeling anymore. Please bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new again. Oh, I want to see you. I want to see you again. Bring back the way. When we began, how did I miss the road? When did I lose the glow? And where did the wonder go? Bring back the new again.
The tempest.